folks, to another episode of We Are Adultro featuring Sean and Danny. I am your gracious host, Sean. Danny, we survived Anime Expo. We've made it back. How are ya?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, now that we're safe in our respective corners of the country. No need for to worry about the restraining order violations and anyone calling the police on us for such actions.
No.
And I'm especially doing well because at the current moment I am double fisting the beers as well.
So you got to drown your sorrow one way or another.
Yes, I'm trying a different version of a Gose that basically is like a margarita beer. And the other one is a Mexican lager, and I decided to give them both a try because they both use black limes instead of regular limes. And I wanted to see if they are any better because, you know, I want to test the theory of once you go black, you never go back.
So what's your verdict?
So the margarita one is pretty good. It's as good as the one that's brewed by Avery, their El Gose. This one is brewed by Dogfish Head, called Sea Quench, and the other one is the Mexican lager brewed by Epic Brewing, Los Locos.
Not too shabby.
That one's actually pretty interesting. It tastes kind of like, it has a different taste. I was expecting it to taste more Corona-esque or something like that, as it's a Mexican lager, but you can definitely have like a peppery, more interesting taste to it. It's pretty good. I highly recommend it. They're both very good chilling out in the sun kind of beer drinking beers.
Nice. That's not too shabby. I'm being a very fancy gentleman drinking mimosas at 10:40 at night.
Well, I mean, you know, orange juice is good for you, and if champagne is the only way to get you to drink orange juice, I guess all the better.
Hey, you know what? I guess so. I just don't drink orange juice by itself anymore.
Well, I mean, look at us. We're both getting drunk and fighting off the effects of scurvy. It's like we're in the British Navy.
We are.
With just slightly less homosexual sex.
And better teeth.
Yes. but not as awesome accents. So I guess it's all trade-offs.
That's true. That is true. So, Danny, I have a confession to make, man. I didn't want to tell you because I was hoping it would fix itself, but it's not.
Yes?
So, there's a scrub that we both know that left a bag on the plane when he left, and Delta has not emailed him back saying that they found his stuff yet.
I mean, I'm assuming it's not one of the people that we play Destiny with, even though they're all scrubs. Well, I guess technically it is one of the people we play Destiny with because, you know, since it's we and playing Destiny and it's not, you know, them, it must be you. Am I correct in my assumption?
That is correct. I left one of my bags between the seat and the wall of the plane because I always sit window because I don't like to get up. And I put in my claim saying I'm missing a bag. And I have yet to be notified that they have found it.
Was there anything important in the bag?
You know what? Maybe not important, but they were important to me. All my Persona 5 buttons I bought, my commissions that I got, and the prints I got were all in that bag.
Oh. That sucks, man. That's why we can't have nice things, huh?
No, I need an adult when I travel, obviously.
Because you had some pretty nice commissions. I mean, I knew if you were just going to throw them. If I would have known you were just going to throw them away, I would have just stolen them from you right before we left.
I know. I just don't.
I mean, that one from Shimonoda was really, really nice.
I know,
hence,
man.
You know, past tense was.
It was.
Someone probably just saw it and
said,
realized
what the fuck is this, and threw it out.
Burnt it. They didn't just throw it out, they burn it. Yeah. For the evil that it is.
Exactly. Oh man, it's just so terrible. Like, It's like I got in like an email status, and it was like, guess what? We haven't found your bag yet. You got 3 weeks left on our investigation before we close it. It's just like, oh my god. Like, how is this shit got missing? Like, this obviously should have been found because I reported it, like, the next day. You know?
Well, I mean, one of two things happened. Either somebody found it and had no idea what it was and threw it away, or somebody found it and knew what it was and now it's at their home.
That is true.
Never to be found again, either way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I should have even gone to Anime Expo at this point because I have, like, no souvenirs.
Well, you have your Diva Pop.
That is true. And
the bitterness of the experience of waiting in all those shitty lines and dealing with all those shitty people.
That is true. You know, my memories will always be with me until I drink them gone.
Exactly. You know, if you were Bruce Banner, you could use your memories of Anime Expo to fuel the most powerful Hulk ever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, the other good thing is I discovered that I'm pretty good using a heat gun, and I only burnt myself like 25 times today, so I'm pretty good at it.
Well, I mean, 25 times in how many minutes? Like, is this like 10 minutes, or is this like a couple hours?
In the span of 2 hours.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not as good as I thought, but much worse, better than it could have been, I guess.
So I'm pull. I like rip up at my house. Oh man, I just peel all this flooring off the ground, and I'm like using the heat gun to get the paper and the glue off the wood underneath, so I can get ready to lay some more stuff on it this week. And literally, like between bumping my hand into the heat gun, putting my hand in front of the heat gun, grabbing the hot glue on the paper that's like really hot, like
melted.
I think I just won, basically. I'm literally surprised that I don't have like any serious burns on me at this point.
I think like hanging out with the group and like just being yourself, I'm sure through life you've gotten used to dealing with some serious burns.
It's true. The only way to get rid of the pain is just with a drink. It's nice and ice cold, and helps with the burn.
You should have invested in the Ove glove from the As Seen on TV store in your local shitty mall.
You know, I should have. I don't know why I didn't think about this. I guess I failed again.
Or maybe you just liked the pain?
Maybe I do. Maybe I just like burning myself for some stupid reason that nobody could explain.
It's psychological. I'm sure Freud would understand.
Oh man. So that's my week.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. That's what you get for being an adult. Like, I actually like doing adult responsible things.
And like being a child and leaving my souvenirs.
Yes, being a child and leaving my toys on the plane, but then buying a house. You're morally and conflicted with what you want to be in life, and you can't do both.
No, I just can't.
You know, have you taken your Diva Pop out of the box at all?
No, I've not. I've decided to leave her in the box for now until post move, maybe.
I decided to take mine out, and the figure that's inside the mech is like really tiny and kind of useless out of the mech, like Diva in the game. So it's like really tall, like really tiny, and it can't stand. Its head is like bigger than the rest of its body, and it's really adorable.
Yeah.
But it's really just useless outside of the mech. So I think they just really got the meta of Diva when they made this figure down pat. Like, gotcha. Basically her you only want to display her in the mech.
Yeah.
And that's where she stays, and that's where she belongs. So if she's outside the mech, you might as well just respawn and put her back in.
She'll get lost.
Exactly.
Like my package on the plane.
It's already been determined you can't be trusted with things in places. So yes, it might be best until you are settled into your move long term, like maybe in 6 months or so before you take it out of the box and look at the thing, because you'll be like just holding on to it, and the next thing you know, it'll be gone.
It will. No shame. No shame at all.
So, you know, before we go much further, I just wanted to kind of be a little bit serious for a minute here. This last week, Stan Lee's wife of 70 years passed away at the age of 93 from a stroke. So, you know, there was a lot of really cool tributes and stuff on the interwebs and from different artists that have worked with Marvel. Surprisingly, J. Scott Campbell posted a couple things that were actually more touching and less douchey than he normally posts on the interwebs.
Oh.
About, you know, just spending some time with him, Solo, and them as a couple, and just, you know, but the time spending before he met her was just Stan Lee talking about, you know, just how much he loved his wife, and, you know, because J. Scott Campbell at that point had just gotten newly married, so he was just, I guess, regaling tales of his marriage and how they met, and how he basically, like, meeting her, when Stan Lee met his wife, she was already married, and I guess she, her husband wasn't as good as him, and so she divorced her husband and remarried Stan Lee pretty much on the same day, if not the same day, at a courthouse in Vegas. So,
I guess
she saw potential before anybody else did. Yes.
Yeah. Jeez. That's crazy, but, to think.
Right? And so, you know, basically, you know, people who think that this isn't necessarily important, you know, Stan Lee's wife is the one that we should all be thanking for the success of Marvel, because he was basically, before it was Marvel, ready to quit the industry because he, I guess, just wasn't happy. And she told him to just make one more comic with the characters that he wants to make and the stories that he wants to tell, and because that'll make him happy. And so then he went from there and created the Fantastic Four and, you know, got his group mojo back. You know, basically June helped Stan get his groove back.
I mean, it's scary to think that we almost didn't have the greatest villain made because of Stan Lee wanting to leave. That is Dr. Doom.
Right. I mean, just think, you know, like, you know, we all think about how miserable we are at our job, and, you know, I guess it's a mindset of, you know, some jobs you don't necessarily have as much control over as you're being an artist, but, you know, I guess it goes to show you that, you know, any job, no matter how awesome it sounds when you're not doing it, still has its moments of being a horrible job and wanting to do something better with your life or different.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess it's that mindset of, you know, just making the most of what you have with what you have, and finding happiness where you can. And so, I'm sure at the time, you know, it was a huge risk for him to write these characters and create these characters, because, you know, if they would have bombed, I'm sure he would have been out of a job anyways. It was almost like he was basically jumping off a ledge and hoping somebody would catch him, as opposed to a parachute.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
You know, and, you know, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have, you know, just a lot of, you know, not just the Fantastic Four and, you know, Doctor Doom, but a lot of the characters that Marvel has now were created by him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spider-Man, you know, just this comic empire wouldn't have been. And so, you know, and even then, you know, if Stan Lee hadn't have done what he did, would DC be as strong as it was? Because, you know, back then, you know, the comics were, I guess, on a different path, different stories. Would we have the movies that we have? It's just, you know, just because of one person and one basically sentiment, you know, the history of geekdom was forever changed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's hard to say what would have been. I mean, it's hard to think that the comic book industry would even be around, really. I think you still have Kirby and stuff, but I think how strong it would be, or how weak it would be without Stan Lee.
Right, because, you know, Stan Lee, like, basically was the one that bridged the gap between, you know, when you had, you know, Jack Kirby years ago, and then you had, you know, Jim Lee and Todd McFarlane and all them, you know, in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. But if it wasn't for Stan Lee bridging that gap, would you have even had them? Would the comics have survived that long? Like, was there anybody else other than Stan Lee to basically take up Jack Kirby's mantle and create these characters, these iconic characters, and these great stories that have, you know, enriched and just motivated, help people get through life through all these years. Because I don't know anybody else necessarily that there's not anybody else being talked about as the way they talk about Stan Lee from that era.
Yeah, I don't think so. Nah, not at all.
So, you know, next time you're, you know, reading a Marvel comic or watching a Marvel movie, whether it's, you know, something good like the Avengers or something bad like the crap that Fox puts out outside of Logan, pretty much. Just, you know, make sure you just remember June Lee and Stan and the love that they have for each other and the fact that she set us all on this course.
Yeah, hats off.
So, you know, moving on, I guess. You know, we had a couple weeks there where we didn't necessarily do our regularly scheduled programming. We last week was our summary show of our exciting time that we had at Anime Expo, and the week before was our awesome interview with EJ De La Pena and him talking about his show Nobility, which is now available on Amazon for watch. And so, from what I'm heard from, you know, you've seen it, your dad watched it. So, I mean, there's a few people that have watched it that I talked to, and they all say it's pretty good. So, I have to take your word for it. As of now, I have not yet watched the show, so I just have to get around to doing it. Maybe watching it on my wife's tablet or something, because the chair for my computer is rather uncomfortable.
True. I mean, if you probably would have more time to watch it if you weren't redoing a show.
I know, right? Like, I guess maybe once a month or so, the universe just wants to really test our commitment to the show by making us re-record the show. Sometimes once, sometimes twice. So hopefully today's the one that sticks.
We can, you know, only
if
hope.
You know, noticed it's if you're one of our couple of regular listeners and check the podcast app early Friday morning on the 14th, you noticed that our podcast wasn't available like normal, as that we're recording it at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, your time,
yeah,
Friday night. And hopes to have it up, I don't know, I guess Saturday morning, Sunday morning? Whenever you get a chance to edit it and put it together and throw it up on our webs for people to listen to.
Yeah.
Super, super, well, I guess at this point, unless we're finishing up in the next 10 or 15 minutes, it'll probably be super early Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Like 12:01 is still Saturday.
We'll
technically Saturday morning. Nah.
I think I could have it up by midnight, maybe. I guess it depends on how long
you beat the midnight deadline.
Depends on how long we want to run our mouths for.
So
the show is pretty
It is currently 11 o'clock, so we have an hour. Let's see if we can marathon it to midnight.
Yeah, boom.
So
I was gonna say the show is pretty
but
good,
in the interim I wouldn't saw a overall or this episode
the three episodes
oh, Nobility.
Yeah, for Nobility. Pretty good.
I thought you were getting a little full of yourself and talking about no, we can talk. This episode is really good so far. And I'm like, dude, like, chill with the ego there.
Worst episode ever.
Yeah.
Probably the third.
Nobility is way better than this podcast.
Why are you listening to it? Just go watch Nobility. Don't listen to us.
Yeah, what you should do is stop this episode, go watch Nobility, and then if you so feel inclined, maybe come back and finish listening, but just save yourself the trouble and skip ahead to the end. We might have some exciting news, but probably not.
We don't have exciting news. We'll just lie to you and say we do.
Yes. But so far there's three episodes, actual episodes of Nobility, but then they have been posting a bunch of extras, like confessional type stuff from the different people, and I guess they just posted a new one from one of the characters who's not human but looks human. Basically, I guess the big draw that they posted was that they were talking about their procreation processes.
Oh boy.
So that looks interesting, you know, basically candid talk on alien sex. You gotta do some research on that, I guess.
I guess so. I didn't realize that we were getting that crazy, but I'm okay with it.
Exactly. So I don't know, like, now I have to watch the show because it's like, I wonder what, you know, Earth, if there's any Earth-based animals that they based their procreation on, or if they just made something up.
They're doing fun times.
Exactly. Do they stick it in the ear?
We will have to.
Because if they did, then they stole that from Family Guy.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Exactly. So, you know, a couple weeks ago on the 24th of June, because that was pretty much, we've done very special episodes since then. I went to see Tool in concert with a bunch of other bands, the Melvins, Fantomas, which consists of Mike Patton from Faith No More, Buzz Osborne from the Melvins, and Dave Lombardo, who was a drummer for Slayer. Another band called Clutch, and then Primus, and then with the headliner of Tool. You know, I got there super early. Basically, the gates opened at 2 o'clock. I paid for a VIP parking, and I paid for the $5 extra to get in the Fast Pass line, which I guess a bunch of other people did, too, because the Fast Pass line became the Slow Pass line. Like, people that were way behind me in other lines were in long before me. You know, and the show didn't start till, like, for a while, and till, like, 4, and I guess I wouldn't have cared so much about getting in if I didn't want one of the special posters that they had printed especially for the concert from Primus.
Yeah.
Because it was only limited to 500 for Primus, and the Tool had one that was limited to 750. And, you know, the concert arena, the place where it was, holds 60,000 people. So, you know, as I was watching these people get in ahead of me, you know, yeah. I was just getting more and more perturbed at the fact that the line was just taking forever. You know, you saw people trying to bring in, like, folding chairs, like captain's chairs that you take to, like, parks and stuff, you know, because they're sitting in the grass. No. Well, no. Unfortunately, that technology, we don't have that technology yet, but we are working upon that.
Exactly.
But everyone was shocked when they couldn't bring their chair in, and they're kind of, and it's like, dude, you're sitting in the lawn at a metal show. Like, why would they let you bring weapons in? At this point now, they should just let you bring in knives and, like, brass knuckles if you're gonna let people bring in, you know, chairs with metal frames.
Yeah.
Oh. So, you know, I get in, and I was just going to buy the two posters, and standing in line, and I hear people talking about how, you know, they're only giving out rubber bands for the posters. They're not giving out tubes. Normally, you go to a concert, and, you know, you buy the print, and they give you they wrap it up and put it in a nice cardboard tube.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were upset, and I was trying to think about why they weren't giving out tubes, and the only thing I could think of was the reputation that Glenn Helen has as far as the people in the lawn like to set bonfires as the night goes on and then mosh around them. So normally The only thing they have to burn in the fires are their plastic cups and their water bottles.
I'm pretty sure that's
and
just
whatever, I guess.
Glen Helen. I don't think it's like a myth.
Yeah, no,
anything.
It's definitely
just
is.
Like, you should just expect that to happen regardless of what event.
Well, no, I didn't say, yeah, that's why I didn't say myth. I said reputation, and it's a well-earned reputation. It's, you know.
That's fair.
I've been to, you know, a few shows there, and pretty much the last three shows that I saw there, just with all the fires and stuff, ended up, like, you know, basically just not feeling well near the end of the night, and I was like, I'm never going back there again. And then another awesome show, and it's like, I'm never going back there again. And so, but I think the only reason they were giving out the tubes was because they could be added to the fire.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people that bought the posters are probably being more protective of the posters than they thought, because,
yeah,
you know, when you're standing, you know, asses to elbows, and you got something that's a limited edition of 500, you're not going to want it to get damaged.
Exactly.
So, you know, when I got there was barely anybody there. The, you know, Melvins came on. Wasn't not really too familiar with them. I know they're one of those seminal bands that I guess people my age should have listened to, and I didn't. Fantomas came out, and I was, like, you know, reading about, like, their sound, and they're just, you know, just kind of off kilter and reading the story about how they, you know, went to a bunch of different record companies to try to get signed, and a couple of them were initially interested because at that time Faith No More was pretty big, and so they'd go watch them play. They'd show up at the club or wherever bar where they were playing, and Mike Patton and the band, rest of the band, would go talk to them after the show, and they would have left. Basically, yeah. I guess they didn't sound exactly like Faith No More, so they didn't want to sign them.
Yeah.
Clutch, the next band, I'd never heard of them either, but I guess they go on tour with Tool regularly. And they've gone on tour with Primus a few times too, so they were pretty good. I mean, they sounded like ZZ Top if ZZ Top somehow hybrid with Nickelback. They had that like really clean like McDonald's fast food sound that Nickelback does, but with like southern guitars of ZZ Top. The southern guitars of ZZ Top.
Nice.
So I was kind of confused because the guitars were catchy, but I don't know. It just nothing too. Extreme to where I'd want to go out and buy all their albums.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for those posters, I probably would have just bought later because, you know, even as Clutch was performing, the place wasn't very full. And then there was a long, like a 45-minute intermission for Primus, and the place basically filled up. And they came out, and a lot of people were only thinking they're only going to play for like 30 minutes, which I guess I would have been okay with, but I really was hoping they'd play more. And they came out and they actually played for a solid hour. And outside of the last Salmon Man and another song I just lost. I had last when you recorded the first time, I remember the other song, but forgot the Salmon Man song. But those were the only two. Winona's Big Brown Beaver. So outside of Winona's Big Brown Beaver and the last Salmon Man, every song that they played was basically off their like first two albums. And so a lot of songs that I hadn't heard them perform live for years. Mm-hmm. They did. So it was a pretty fun show seeing Primus and listening to them play old stuff and kind of the banter of the crowd. Played a lot of the standards from those albums. Too Many Puppies and then in the intermission interlude of Too Many Puppies, they did the entirety of Sergeant Baker. You know, when they finished Sergeant Baker, he had some witty crowd banter talking about, you know, being a San Bernardino and just the crowd and stuff, and then went back into and finished Too Many Puppies. You know, played My Name is Mud. Basically a lot of really all the good songs off their first two albums, which is pretty much most of them. Nice. Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. and then there was like a super long ass intermission between Primus and Tool. And so, you know, we thought we had to be out of there by 10, you know, noise ordinances, but somebody said that they were going to play till 11. And so, like, Primus was off the stage, like, 8:45. It was, like, early, like, 9-ish. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there was an hour intermission between Primus and Tool. I was just sitting there. And so, and the whole time in the intermission, they had the police helicopter circling the crowd in the lawn. I guess to make sure they didn't start any fires, they just keeping tabs on everybody. And so, Tool finally came out, you know, the band came out, everyone was in their spots up front in the spotlight, except Maynard, who kind of hides in the dark now in the back. But, yeah. You know, the band, you know, a lot of people get pissed about that. They talk about how, you know, they pay to see the band, and it's like, well, yeah, but whether or not he's, you know, up front or in the back, it doesn't matter. He's there, he's performing, he's doing the show. And, you know, seeing Tool live now is much more about, you know, I guess actually watching the band play and, you know, the light show that they put on. They're more of a visual performance than they are necessarily just a band performing.
Yeah, I remember when I saw Tool probably, let's see, 7-8 years ago. It was before that. It was before me and you hung out. I went to Vegas with a buddy, and we saw them. And I mean, it was just watching the video, and the lights were just very spectacular. It was like a nice vibe, and just really in the light show really tuned into the music, and it was just so easy to just kind of get lost in like the trance.
Right. I mean, I'm not much of an acid user, but if you are. Tool, I guess Tool is the new psychedelic band now that, you know, there's no more Grateful Dead and Fish is, I guess, too old to do drugs anymore. But the thing that I thought was really spectacular about the show was they had everywhere, like, signs up about not to, you know, film any of the show with your, you know, not to use your cell phones, no photography, no filming. And, you know, during the daytime when there was like the opening acts were up there, they had actually, security was actually going around and telling people they need to put their phones away and stop recording. But like, as soon as Tool jumped, got on stage, like almost everybody's phones was out, were out. And I mean, within a 24 hours, there was at least one video on YouTube of the entire performance that was filmed practically, seems like it was filmed professionally.
Nice.
But then there's, you know, there's a bunch of other songs, like, you know, individual videos of different songs and stuff. Some of them were filmed well. Some of them, people held their phones vertically instead of horizontally, so you get the black bars, which I guess people like black bars in their videos. But yeah, it was pretty funny that I went through all this trouble of like forcing people to not record, and that's literally what everybody did. But it's just funny because it's like, dude, just watch the show. And I guess you could watch it later on YouTube if you recorded it. But just the percentage of people, I just remember, you know, years ago, like nobody would record, and then a couple people here and there, and people would get pissed at those people recording. Now it's almost like if you're not recording any part of the concert, people look at you like you're in the wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous for people to get crazy about that, but people just can't, like, sit and relax and just watch it.
Right, and I mean, if you're going to record, first of all, hold your phone horizontally. If you're going to expect other people to watch and enjoy your video, nobody wants to look at the black bars. And it's even worse when they try to do that echo thing or whatever, where they like expand the edges of the video to the screen so it just looks like a makes everything just wider or something to get rid of the black bars. But the other thing too is, if you're going to record a concert and it's dark, turn down the brightness on your screen. You know, like, at least have some respect for the people standing, you know, 10 rows behind you that are blind now because your phone was set at the highest brightness setting.
Yeah.
And it was dark and now it's not anymore.
It's like in the movie theater when like that bright little light comes on and you're just like, you have to look at it.
Right. As much as you want to ignore it, like, you can't, because your eye is drawn towards the, you know, spotlight that is now a beacon in the theater.
Yeah, it really is.
And, you know, I know it's a painful subject for us, but hopefully this is maybe the last time we bring it up. So, when, you know, we were walking around Anime Expo looking at the different booths. We came across a booth that was promoting some games. And one of the games that they were promoting was a cell phone game that looked pretty spectacular just based on the name of the game and the drawings of the girls, called Mo Ninja Girls. And those girls were definitely Mo, and they were definitely ninjas. But I didn't play the game. You did. How awesome was the game, or was it very reminiscent of our Anime Expo experience in general, and just not as good as we'd hoped?
I don't even want to talk about this subject. That's how hurt I am about this game. The game turned out to be a light novel game, and light novel games are really retarded to play, basically, at this point. Especially it's not all light novels games. It's just the ones that are trying to get as much money from you as possible, because basically what happens is you need energy to like play the story, and so you get like a chapter, but like there's like 50 chapters, so it takes you like, or some of them are even more than that, but basically like you have to be really patient and just like let your energy recharge every day so that way you can read it. Or how they get you is you have to pay money. And there's like 10 girls in the game, so that's a long time to get through there. So it was kind of disappointing, like, that it ended up being, I thought it was going to be more of like a game. I didn't realize it was going to be like a visual novel.
Right. You're hoping you can just go and like have these really cute girls go and just kick everything's ass ninja style.
Yeah, I thought it would be like some kind, they would do something to make it entertaining, and then there would be like, you would just control the girls or whatnot, but it was terrible. I don't even know if it's worth even like taking a look at. Hopefully it's written well, at least. I mean, if you're going to pay or deal with that shit, like, hopefully it's at least well written.
Right. I mean, the game, I can't remember what company put the game out, but it was one of the bigger booths at Anime Expo. So I'm hoping that just the quality of the company, they put a little bit of effort into it as opposed to just realizing that they have a cash grab on their hands and it doesn't have to necessarily have any production value other than ways to make money.
Exactly. No, I mean, that setup was pretty cool, and I mean, the different girls do definitely look pretty awesome, so it was severely disappointing when it turned out to be a cheap little light novel game. But there's always pluses, so there is a game I am playing which I do like, even though it does have, like, the same kind of energy problem. I think there's enough to do to play. I mean, you can't sit and play it for, like, 5 hours in a row because you just won't have enough stuff to do while your stuff is recharging. But, I mean, it's definitely, like, in the beginning of the day, you can definitely get, like, a good 45 minutes in gaming, and then you can play later on in the day and whatnot. But it's called, damn it, I forgot what it's called. Goddess Kiss.
Goddess Kiss?
Yes. And it's basically anime.
That's why we have. That's why we have. I'm gonna say that's why we have show notes, Sean. I mean, I know it sounds like we're completely unprepared, but we at least have a bare bones outline that has, you know, a few keywords, and then the rest of it is just rambling nonsense of our own making. But yes,
I'm just here so I don't get fined. All right, that's all. It's a social contract between me and you that I would deal with your shit once a week and do this podcast.
I was gonna say I think that's basically why we're both here now, because I think it's we're here recording this episode so that we don't not record next week or the week after either.
Exactly.
And just stop talking to each other again.
My life was so much better then, but you know, each of their
own. I know, right? Horrible life decisions.
All right, anime girls in mechanical suits fighting each other, Goddess Kiss. That is the game. There's different things that you could do in the game, and it makes it a lot more fun to play. And the girls are pretty damn cute. There's even a subreddit on Reddit just for Goddess Kiss. So there's a lot of people that play, but it is pretty fun. I've really enjoyed reading and playing this one. This is probably the one that I'm sticking to with the mobile companies.
So the subreddit, is it safe for work or not safe for work?
It is safe for work. I haven't subscribed to it, but I have looked at it, and it's a lot of questions about, like, what combo should you play? What are people's reviews on the new girl that came out and stuff like that?
So they haven't made a Goddess Kiss porn like they made an Overwatch porn yet?
You know, I'm sure if you look hard enough, Danny, it'll be there for you. All right, you'll find it. Don't worry.
It's under Rule 34 or hentai or pantsu or whatever other animated character subreddits of nudity they have.
There's just too many to count at this point.
Exactly, and if they ever start like they did with other mobile games where they make collectible collectible figures of the game characters in game. You know, there's a whole different subreddit for those too.
Oh man, terrible. You know, the thing I discovered though, flying out to California and coming back, is like every mobile game has to be connected to the internet now. Like you can't, You seriously cannot get away from. You can't just play a game offline anymore.
Well, I think that's because they want to keep track of all your movement and keep track of what you're doing in the game to make sure you're not cheating or enjoying yourself.
No, we just can't have nice things or have fun.
Exactly. Like, you know, if you're enjoying yourself and cheating, then you're going to get the ban hammer dropped on you.
Something like that. Oh man, it's no fun. It just sucks because like you can't like every game I download, I would turn it into airplane mode to test it and be like, sorry, you can't play this. I'm just like, There's no fucking PvP. Like, how is this game have to be on the network? It was just terrible.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's some games, some companies make solitaire games where you have to be online to play, you know, solitaire. Not versus solitaire. Just, you know, you're playing solitaire to kill time because you don't want to use a lot of data. And you have to be connected to the internet to play solitaire.
Yeah, all the sadness.
Yes, and you know, I guess the one benefit of us having to re-record the episode today is I was reading on the interwebs about this company that made a mobile game for the movie Fate of the Furious.
Jeez.
And they're doing I guess an experiment on people that play the game, which if it fails, good. But if it works, then we have nobody to blame but them. Basically. They released a car that's a premium car that you have to buy as DLC to get to play in the game. And it's one of the game cars that Michelle Rodriguez drove in the new movie. But different people that when they look at the offer for the car, different people have different prices for the car. So, and I'm guessing this is based on, I guess, your history of purchases. So if you've made no purchases, you get the low price, and if you've shown the propensity of making purchases for the game or other games, you get a higher price. So basically, what they saw, the price ranged anywhere from, that was offered was anywhere from $5 to $30 for the car.
Wow.
So yeah, so basically, like, the same car was offered to different people that played the game at a price range from 5 to 30. And so they hit up the company and asked why what was going on with that, if that was like a glitch or something, and they said no, that they're testing a new thing to see if it works, and they're testing it with that car, and I'm guessing that's why they're testing it, because if there's people out there willing to pay $30 for a DLC car, you know, and there's a lot of them, then either they'll raise the prices on the DLC, or other companies will see that it works for them, and so if somebody has a history of doing a lot of migrations, like whether you're just, you know, don't understand the price of things, or you're a kid that has your mom's credit card, yeah. You're going to end up paying a significant amount more for future in-game microtransactions than the people who, I guess, either seldom or rarely buy anything for mobile games, which, you know, I guess that's the whole thing of economics, you know. Supply and demand. If someone's willing to pay $30 for that car, to them it's worth $30. You can't be mad at the game company for giving somebody a price point and they're willing to pay for it. But if, you know, for the people that don't want to pay $30, I guess your choice is just to either be mad or just not play the game. But, you know, more power to that game company if they can get somebody to pay $30 for a single car in a mobile game.
Yeah. No, I believe it. It's ridiculous to see. All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and cut this episode a little early. We just can't seem to figure out why we're having so many problems with the audio tonight and this week. Appreciate you guys listening through. We promise we'll spend some time and get this shit figured out for next week. But again, thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Like, review us on Podbean and on iTunes. Danny, I wish I could say it was a good one, but I'm just going to blame this one on you.
You know what? I guess, given the fact that you should feel bad for leaving your shit on a plane, I'll go ahead and take the blame on this one.
Fair enough.
And if you're going to go ahead and record, you know, give us a review on Podbean or iTunes, just go ahead and listen to other episodes. Don't listen to this one. Just don't base your review on this episode. This is a bad episode, and it should feel bad for itself. The way Sean should feel bad for leaving his shit on a plane.
We do feel bad. It does. We do feel bad about it. All right, man. It was good talking with you. We'll see you next time.
All right, next week, everybody.